I invite you to hear the scripture as it comes to us today from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Again, reading the story that Nikki shared with you just a moment ago from the Common English Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. God will dwell with them, and they will be God's people. God Himself will be with them as their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no more mourning, crying, or pain. For the former things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I'm making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "All is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water from the life-giving spring." And in verse 7, I'm going to add this verse. "Those who emerge victorious will inherit these things. I will be their God. They will be my sons and daughters." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, meet us now here in this time. Grant us a sense of your presence, that as we come together to remember with joy, that you will make your love known to us, that we will sense the gift of community surrounding us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our collective hearts be acceptable in your sight. You, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm super grateful for children's books, in part because they oftentimes will draw us into a story that we might too easily cast aside. Now, I will join Nikki, if you don't know, Nikki's my wife, in saying that Revelation is one of the books that we often like to avoid. It's not fun. And to be honest, the imagery throughout the book of Revelation makes it one of the toughest of the books to read. It's apocalyptic literature, meaning it talks about end times. Except the challenge is that for us, particularly those of us who are alive today in 2018, we have enough remembrance and enough of history written down to think that when we look at what's happening around us, that we join with every generation before us in thinking, is this the time? Have things gotten bad enough yet? Right? Because oftentimes what Revelation would flag and what Archbishop Tutu says in the children's piece, there was coming a time towards the end of John's life when famines and wars and other things were going to be happening. And then this promise of what's going to come after. Now, I could bore you with lots of wonderful history about why we've come to understand end times in the way we have, and there are at least three different ways that you can approach it when it comes to the body of believers and how we'll be impacted by it. But remember what I said at the beginning, where I can see when you kind of glaze over and you get lost and start looking out the windows? That would exactly what would happen should we go there today. So let me just point to this piece to say, part of our challenge when we talk about Christ coming again is that we recognize and see in the world around us enough brokenness that within us is a longing for Christ to return to make all things new. And the people of God need to be among those who hold that tension, I think, especially close. Because the people of God are the ones who are to be bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ, bearers of the hope and promise we have that what we see in front of us is not the only reality that will be. Now, I wish I weren't preaching this 2 days before Election Day, right? When for some, there's this tension and this feeling that things have got to get better, and I would say that that's held across both sides of the aisle. But I also recognize, though, that some are believing that this is a good time for them. And it's all a matter of your own perspective and experience in the world around us, right? And so we live with this tension, even in our own country, of knowing that while things might be good for us in the moment, we still long for it to be better in the world overall. Amen? The world needs the loving kindness of Christ to not only transform us, but transform our families, our neighborhoods, our community, our nation, and our world. Now that sounds great. And so when we read Revelation, surely this is going to come and happen because Christ is just going to wander in and boom, it's going to be done. But here's the challenge to that, brothers and sisters. And it comes in the prayer that Nikki read at the end of reading this very story. So if you'd like to see the picture up close, you can see me afterwards. But this is the prayer that Archbishop Tutu wrote for this very scripture reading at the very end of the Bible, in this children's Bible. Dear God, help me to make your dream of a new earth come true. Help me to make your dream of a new earth come true. There's this crazy thing that Revelation points out and that we find throughout Scripture. God will make God's home among God's people. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation is the story of God's love and grace being active in creation. Now, reality is it's also a story of our not fully getting that, and I'm making a mess of things. But to not overgeneralize that, one of the things that we can miss is that God is uniquely interested in our participation in that work. Hey, Bean. Good morning. There you are. That's okay. Do you want to hang out with me for a minute? Okay. That'll be fine. We'll make it work. Is that okay, Mom? God is interested in us being a part of that work. We need to be a part of that work of new creation coming to be. That is why the church, throughout its history, has been about sharing the stories of faith from the littlest to the oldest. It's got to be a part of that. And if it ever goes away, if we ever stop telling that story and allowing that to shape our livelihood, our everyday being, then guess what happens? That dream gets pushed further out. Because you may be a part of that dream for somebody in your life. By the way that you show grace and mercy, by the way that you show kindness. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Do you want to go back to Mom? There's a lot of people out here. This seemed like a good idea for the moment, right? And so for the littlest among us, to the oldest of you sitting out there, the gift of our story is that it continues to be told. And thank you. What a gift that she would come up to remind us that if we're not telling that story to the littlest among us, then the hope of it coming to be seems like a hope that's too far off. It can be a hope that seems lost. But I'm reminded, as we come to name the honored dead among us this day, that list is printed in your bulletin, whose names we gather to remember. Many of them, if you look at that list of names, I'm grateful I've been with you now. I'm in my third year where I've got a chance to meet a number of them. That's not always the case when you're a Methodist pastor, because you arrive and many of them are not at the prime of their life, so you're not able to build those connections and relationships. But here's what I've learned. And hearing the names of these that we'll celebrate in just a few moments, from Nancy to Willis to Sonia to David to Ralph to Evelyn and Lenora, each of them I've heard stories of their love of God. And oftentimes it was in behind-the-scenes work. Whether it was working in the office or helping coordinate something like our quartet today, I thought of Miss Lenora, who was sitting there for the gospel singings faithfully on a regular basis because her husband loved to sing. And he committed himself to it when he had a transformation in his own life, that he would keep telling the story through song. Or Dave, who I often think of every time somebody walks in for counseling and I go, he worked behind the scenes with Bob Johnson and I and didn't say no to something that was out of the norm. And so now we have a counselor who's here full-time, who is walking alongside persons that are needing help in body or in spirit. And every time somebody walks in almost every time I'm going, thank you, Dave, that you didn't just, as our chair of trustees, say, nope, we can't do something that's outside of what we've always done, but said, okay, and met with me for coffee, and we met in the afternoons, and we worked behind the scenes to help make that space possible so that people could do the work of healing and wholeness. And if we are to take just a few moments, and I would encourage this as a congregation as we gather together today, as we have our benediction, I want you to gather with those families of those saints who we remember. Because just as I held Bean in my hand a minute ago, part of what helps pass on the faith is the stories we tell. How we continue to give a sense of narration, a sense of who they were, and particularly when we talk about the community of faith, who God was to them, helps us connect to this great story that we read from every single week. You do realize it's a story of God's people telling of who God is. And we told it from the youngest to the oldest, and Deuteronomy tells us to speak at any time that we rise and that we lie down, that we continue telling the story and speaking of God's grace and God's mercy and the hope that we have in the one who gives us life. We are a people of faith that hang on even when we feel like we don't have enough strength to keep hanging on. That in the midst of acts of atrocity and violence, we stand in peace. We call forth for justice in the midst of injustice and brokenness. It's a unique call as the people called Methodist that we would so order our lives together that those three core rules that Wesley gave to those early Methodist societies would still continue to shape who we are. That we are first to do no harm. That second, we are to do good. And three, we are to attend upon the ordinances of God. That we're to continue those practices that help us grow in the love of God and neighbor. Some of them we do individually, some of them, such as worship and gathering at the table of the Lord, we do as a community. So today, as you remember a saint in your life, someone whose impact has far outlived them, I want to invite you with a challenge. Tell that story to someone else. Tell of how God worked through them to impact you. Whether it was through their kindness that they showed every Sunday when they were standing at the back to greet you with a piece of candy. That was J.J. Butterworth in my life. I remember him. He greeted me every Sunday. And as a 14-year-old who had so much anger I didn't know what to do with, his kindness broke through it every Sunday. You couldn't be mad when he reached out his hand to welcome you. He would feebly get to that back door, but he was there to greet every person. And he'd reach in his pocket and he'd hand you a mint. But JJ also was the person that knew God had been calling me before I knew it. And so he went to my parents' home. He said, I need Brian for the afternoon. He'd already worked it out with my dad. And he drove me to Nashville to buy my first suit. I'd never owned a suit. And at 16 years old, he said, you need a suit because God's calling you. God's going to do something in your life. Now, I did not yet know that calling fully, but JJ could see it. And I'm so grateful for saints like him who loved and cared for me and helped encourage me in the faith. Was he perfect? He didn't have to be. He was willing. So today, maybe, just maybe to the little ones among us, you might be that saint they remember. Your life may be the one that impacts theirs with love and kindness. You may be the one that tells them and teaches them the stories, that embodies it through service in behind the scenes. Who sees them on a Sunday and says, God has great plans for you, and I'm thrilled I get to be a part of it. May it be so, not only today, but in the days to come, so that hope we long for will one day be realized. Come, Lord, come.